You're listening to a classic business podcast as heard on Classic 1027. 1027. This is Classic Business with Michael Avery on Classic 1027 in Johannesburg and Fine Music Radio in Cape Town. Philanthropy feature.
Well, one of the more remarkable displays of how this crisis is bringing South Africans together was the launch of the Solidarity Fund. And the fund was kick-started by donations of R1 billion each from the Rupert and Oppenheimer families, and it's intended to help mobilize business and civil society to back government's efforts to contain the spread of COVID-19 and to support those on the fringe. The fund is going to be chaired by Wiphold founder Gloria Sorobi and philanthropist Adrian Enthoven. The government has also provided 150 million in seed capital, of which 100 million comes from Treasury and 50 million from the National Lotteries Commission. Well, I've got Sheila Gastro, who provides advisory services to the philanthropy sector, higher education advancement and the non-profit sustainability sector on the line. Sheila, good evening. What does this tell you about the role of philanthropy and the role that it can play during a crisis like this?
Hi, good evening. It's the Oppenheimer and Rupert kind of lead on this has been really important, because philanthropy in South Africa is party organized. I'm not saying every single philanthropist and philanthropic foundation is organized, but there are a significant group, which includes some of the Oppenheimer foundations themselves, who come together regularly. And as soon as this crisis happened, they did hold a meeting to look at what could be their response. And there's nothing final yet, but they do recognize how important it is for philanthropy to come together and back certain organizations, and possibly the Solidarity Fund. I don't know if that's come up yet, because by bringing all those resources together, you can make a really big impact in one place rather than dispersing it across South Africa in small pockets.
Yeah.
So there is a decision to be made what fund they will invest in, which it might be two or three, that, you know, but it certainly won't be a widespread.
Do you know if the donations to the Solidarity Fund are Section 18A deductible? And it's not about looking for a sweetener. It's about being able to get more bang for one's buck and therefore up one's allocation.
I actually can't tell you. Usually philanthropic foundations don't require an 18A because they are tax-exempt themselves. So that would apply more to individuals and the corporate sector, yes.
Yeah, but
I'm not sure about that. I don't know how fast the fund has been put together, if it's just a special purposes fund, or whether they've looked at the whole issue of tax exemption.
Everything's moving so quickly. It's something that we're going to be doing some digging on as well, because if we could establish that, then surely it becomes a bit of a no-brainer for companies and private individuals as well who want to play their part. I think there are many of us who feel the pang of privilege when you see how a lockdown might impact those who are on the street, for example, shelters being erected, or those hawkers that are trading on the fringe. How
Absolutely.
Is government's SME
yeah.
fund going to be helping them? There is a huge sort of missing lower end. It's not a missing middle. It's almost the forgotten members
right.
of our society.
I do think the Solidarity Fund will create a lot of confidence, firstly by these two big donations, but also by the people who are running it. And, you know, it's not sort of seen as a government entity. It's seen as something independent. So I think there will be a lot of confidence about putting money in there.
Now, from your vantage point, what are the big questions facing philanthropy during a crisis of this magnitude?
There are two things. The first is they have existing relationships with a range of organizations that they fund. And we're talking about, you know, billions of rands going to various civil society organizations, universities. And now there's an understanding that a lot of these programs that are being funded, et cetera, are just not going to happen. So there has to be an engagement with organizations that are really funded by philanthropy around how do we account for this money? How will it be used in a productive way? So a lot of philanthropic foundations are looking at changing the kind of grants they've made. So if they have given money to an organization for a particular program, which is now not going to happen, if they're training people, they will convert that to what is called a general purposes grant. In other words, the organization can use it as they see fit to survive. So they may be able to use that funding to keep people on staff. They may be able to use that funding to jack up their IT systems because so they can work remotely. There may be a whole way of transferring the program money into operational money for the duration of this crisis. I think that's been one of their biggest worries around the year's grants that have been made, which are significant, and how they will be best utilized for this crisis.
And another one that I can think of is foundation supporting the likes of school feeding schemes. What happens to those children who are at least getting one square meal in the morning now that they're not going to school?
There are so many issues. I mean, you could write a book around there are the school feeding schemes. There are a whole range of health things. How do you know, people who have chronic diseases like TB, you know, asthma, cancer, what's going to happen to them in this scenario? What's happening to old people? So there are so many issues that, you know, I certainly know that a lot of the foundation have been presented with these, and they've been pleading for all over the place. But I tend to think they're going to invest in probably two or three organizations that are working on the front line, working with vulnerable communities, and also those involved in kind of frontline response of priority needs, just straight buying ventilators, masks, being able to employ more nurses, so that, you know, they're being pulled all over the place.
So urgent actions then.
I want to say though,
Sorry, Sheila, just because we are running out of time, and to leave with some urgent actions that philanthropy can take right now, what would you suggest are some of the most critical?
I think I would look at something like what Gift of the Givers is doing, because they reach into the rural areas, they reach into rural hospitals, they have a supply chain of all the kinds of things that are needed in those places. They have connections all over, you know, particularly rural, but not only. They obviously work in urban areas as well. But they work in needy communities. They know what's needed. And if I was sitting with tons of philanthropic money, that's probably where I'd put it.
Sheila Gastro with insights into how philanthropy is responding to the tumor MENA call in this time of crisis. There is so much out there, but it is all about channeling it into those urgent areas required over the next few weeks.